Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Scarlett Fu, along with Damian Sassauer and our special guest host, Vanessa Perdomo of Bloomberg Originals. Michael Barr is off this week. Coming up on the big show, we're going to hear from the one and only, the soccer legend, Mia Hamm.
Here's Mia Hamm in the box, the shot, goal, she's got the record!
We'll talk with the two-time Olympic gold medalist and two-time FIFA World Cup champion about the state of women's sports, her foundation, and of course, a little bit of soccer.
You know, as you progress through the tournament, the pressure gets much greater. And I think in the end, it kind of just exposed just some of the issues the team was having in terms of systems and where players were playing.
Our extended conversation with Mia Hamm is on the way. You'll want to keep it here. But first, another special guest joined us in studio this week. New York Giants outside linebacker Kayvon Thibodeaux took time out of his busy week. He stopped by to talk with Damian, Vanessa, and me. Remember, he was selected fifth overall last year by the Giants. He's in his sophomore season. The team is off to a bit of a tough start this year. We talked with Thibodeaux about navigating New York and his many business interests, including his dream foundation. Let's take a listen to our conversation. Kayvon, I really want to thank you for coming into the studio. Talk a little bit about how the season is going, because as a sophomore player, you had a stellar first year. It's going a little bit harder so far this year, and New York fans are not exactly shy about making their opinions known. You've talked about how the fans can easily turn into social media general managers. Talk a little bit about what's changed playing in this New York market from your first year.
I mean, last year we started off winning. I think that's the obvious difference. But it's been tough. You know, I think football is such a game of, you know, small margin that it's like when you're not able to close out on the positive side, it hurts even more. But it's been a rough season. But I feel like, you know, it's long enough to bounce back.
You know, Kayvon, I mean, it was a gritty performance against the Bills, right? Obviously, the quarterback's injured. I don't want to focus too much on the negatives, but, like, you know, 1-5, you know, how do you stay focused? You know, I mean, this is the first time you've gone through a losing streak like this since you're being in the NFL. You know, talk to us about what's going on in the locker room. How do you motivate yourself?
Really, you got to take the wins. You know, there are really no moral victories in football, but when you look at, you know, either how you've been able to play individually or how we've been able to play as a defense, you know, you kind of got to take the good with the bad and understand that we can keep getting better, and all you can really do is your part. So, you know, just continuing and honing on that and get better every week. You know, we still got 11 games left, so the opportunities are still there.
And the schedule just eases up considerably, Scarlett, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so we, I was just looking at it. I can see the Giants rolling off quite a few wins.
You're
kind
of
a
biased, bystander here.
I'm some sort of a New York fan, so I guess that's right. You know, I mean, you know, I talked to us a little bit more, Kayvon, about the challenge, you know, of moving from, you know, the Oregon Ducks to the New York Giants, the legendary New York Giants, playing edge, you know, Lawrence Taylor, Michael Strahan, Jason Tuck. I mean, talk to us a little bit about, you know, some of the pressures that go hand in hand with that.
I think it's just wanting to be great. You know, when you talk about playing a sport where it's, you know, highly competitive and there are guys who, you know, come in and out. The turnover is so fast and often is that, you know, you just want to be great as much as possible. Now, being in New York, it's like you're in the biggest market where everybody's watching, so it kind of just puts that extra pressure to, you know, push yourself to those limits.
And what is that, being in New York? How have you been able to adjust to that now? It's your second year, Scarlett talked about. I mean, New York fans, we're passionate people.
I would say I went to Oregon and I'm from LA, so when you talk about the media, it's always been there. I think, you know, the biggest difference is the passion that people have for the sport. You know, in LA, football is big, but it's not as, you know, people don't take it as serious as they do on the East Coast. So I appreciate it. It's actually, you know, it's what keeps you going, you know, knowing that people believe in you, knowing that, you know, you're doing it for a reason and not just entertainment, but, you know, people are really tied into it.
So it motivates you a little
bit.
Yeah,
exactly.
You belong to the new generation of football players in the NFL, college stars who came in with financial investment experience from your NIL deals as a college player. And some of the deals that you've made are really interesting. You're an equity partner in the T10 Cricket League. You're a team owner in the National Thoroughbred League. How did you go about finding these investments, or were they pitched to you?
So those are actually more recent. You know, when you talk about NIL, NIL was like a space of trying to understand the whole landscape, right? You don't know how big a room is until you walk in it. And making the right decisions back then have kind of led me to understand what I want as far as longevity, you know, starting now.
So talk about that process then.
At first it was, you know, understanding contracts. Because like for me, I went to college for journalism. I majored in journalism and understanding that, you know, I was going to be on camera. So just trying to figure out, you know, everything behind it, you know, like all the inner workings. And then I did marketing with that. So I guess looking at it in an aspect that now we are, you know, we've been a business, but now we're, you know, basically are the business, and understanding how to, I guess, leverage who I am and, you know, get what I feel like I'm worth. You know, so when you look at coming from college to the pros, I think it went from getting the cash, like cash flow that I needed early, and now setting up plays for longevity. So understand like equity and things like that are going to grow, that, you know, you may not receive anything up front, but understanding that, you know, you got skin in the game.
Kayvon, let's talk about those NIL dollars. You know, primetime Deion Sanders speaks about his ability to draw those NIL dollars to his team, to Colorado. And, you know, we know that Oregon slammed Colorado just a few weeks back. But, you know, talk to me. You played for primetime, I believe, in 2019 in the Under Armour All-American game as a co-captain for Team Sanders. Talk to us about what he brings. What does Deion Sanders bring to his players so that they can get more NIL dollars? Is that going to really draw them to Colorado? You think that works?
You know, it's a different time. You know, obviously everybody went to each college, you know, based on your potential value, right? What you thought you were going to be able to make from going to said college. And now that these guys are able to, you know, get that physically, it's a completely different landscape. So I would say as far as who he is being prime time is, you know, kind of the driving force between everything. I mean, he's a guy, when you looked at him at first, people didn't really believe, you know, guys who play the sport and go to coach it, it's not really that same excitement, you know, or same
It's belief. No guarantee.
Yeah, it's no guarantee. So, you know, when they seen him coming in, they, you know, I wouldn't say took him for granted, but like, you know, just brushed him off, and he's been able to do some great things. So now seeing him on, you know, the highest level, or not, you know, college level.
Mm-hmm. You think it would influence your decision if you were a high school student in South Los Angeles?
Man, if I'm being honest, yeah. If Deion was coaching back when I was being a recruit, it would matter, because, you know, having those meetings with a guy who's is greatness, you know, it's different when you're a young kid coming up, because you just see the highlights, but now you know, like, okay, he really knows football.
You
know,
so do you think that's what has now, it's the biggest impact on college football, is not that the NIL ever, you know, distracted you guys from on the field play, but it is going to impact people's decisions and where they go?
Of course. I mean, it's like now college is what the NFL draft is, if that makes sense. But now, like, the players are making the picks rather than, you know, and it's kind of always been that way when you think of the commitment day and all that kind of stuff. But it's like now, you know, guys are, hey, if I get $1 million for going to a school, trust me, I'll be there.
Have you talked to any players, like, in high school going through that process now? Like, do you have any advice for them?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would just say know where you are. You know, stay where your 10 toes are. And I say that because everybody's situation is different. And if you're a top player and you can go and get to the next level, then do it and accomplish it and live out your dreams and goals. And for all the players that may not be at that same level, either let it be now or ever, because college is a place where a lot of people stop playing sports. It goes from, you know, there's only, what, 1,500 NFL players right now versus millions of college players. It's like, if you start to understand, like, man, let me maximize what I have now and live in the moment and not necessarily worry about what the future could hold. A lot of kids will be able to take advantage of the opportunity and, you know, become successful.
Kevin, I'd like to take up on what you just said. Know where you are, right? Yeah. You're at Oregon. You think you're playing for the Pac-12, now you're playing for the Big Ten, right? And the same goes for Washington and all these other teams, you know, USC, UCLA, mm-hmm. you name it. Talk to us about, you know, you've lived this life, you know, traveling from, you know, Oregon to Michigan games to OSU. I mean, what's that life going to be like for these student athletes?
Let me make it even more crazy. It's not just football. That's soccer. That's men's basketball. That's
swimming.
Swimming. It's every, you know, sports. So I think it's going to be tough, but I think that we're going to get the viewership. I think the viewership is obviously what they want to do it for, and I'm only excited about it because of the players. You know, they get on a bigger platform, and like I said, the people who weren't able to make it to the league are going to be able to maximize the opportunity. So I'm all for it. I think the Pac-12 was an era. You know, if you didn't get to play in it, it's a tough scene, but yeah, I got two Pac-12 championships. So. great times while it lasted.
Pretty crazy. Do you think to think that those other teams too, the soccer teams and swimming, they're not on charter flights?
Oh yeah, oh, no. That's
they're traveling and far away.
That's what I'm saying. Far away to. Come on now. yeah, it's ridiculous.
Do you think NIL and all of this is going to change? I mean, it's already changing conference alignments and realignments, but how far along this realignment process are we? Are we like 50% of the way through?
Ooh, that's a great question.
80% of the way through?
If you ask me, I would say we're not even 50. And I'm only saying that because there's no jurisdiction yet. And I say that like they haven't figured out a way to really tighten it up. Mm-hmm. So once they do that, then everything will kind of scale back out, like the market almost like kids, you know, I won't call them kids, but young men will start to understand, you know, where they really need to be. Because, like, I feel like even when NIL first started, the market was so volatile. Guys were getting paid, you know, I'm one of them, but guys were getting paid crazy numbers, and then it kind of just plateaued at a point.
Kayvon, someone told me once upon a time you're an avid chess player.
Yeah.
Anyone else on the Giants play chess? I mean, anyone good?
Yeah, everybody kind of just started. We kind of, like, the wave just kind of came in. So, like, Saquon plays chess. Leonard Williams plays chess. Adoree Jackson.
Anyone any good? Anyone as good as you?
I've been playing the longest, so I won't say that they're not as good. They just don't have the same amount of experience.
You know, it's interesting to me that you talked a little bit about that you got this crazy money and started plateauing. But how impactful do you think it was for you to make money in college, and you have that financial literacy going into the NFL? So it wasn't like bam.
Man, so that's what's funny about it. When it came out, I was actually saying that like it gave, you know, college athletes the opportunity to show, you know, NFL coaches or professional coaches that, okay, I can live life and I can handle having money. So I guess it kind of gives you a maturity factor and understanding like, okay, if you can manage, you know, what you have at a college level, then, you know, we can trust you at the professional level.
Is that a conversation that coaches and people have?
When I actually went through the process, no, because it was so new. But I'm pretty sure that now, you know, it'll come up, because that is how you handle your money is going to affect how you play on the field. So I'm pretty sure they're going to want to know that.
Oh, that's an interesting no. How so, do you think?
I mean, because it's about like mental health. I won't stretch that far and say that. But it is about, you know, being stressed out. If you're not managing your money correctly, if you're not doing the things that you have to do off the field, and it's important to you, which a lot of, you know, being in America, it has to be. It can cause stress, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be worried about your paycheck when you got to go play on Sunday.
You know, Kayvon, we did mention, you know, you are an equity partner in the T10 Cricket League. How did that come about? I mean, now you're an owner of teams, you're a player on teams, like, and how much time does it take out of your day?
So I think it's like anything else, is whatever you put into it, you know. I was just talking with my team, and I was just saying how, like, you know, you think about how much time you spend playing video games through a lifetime, you know, being from a little kid up to now, and how much time is basically just wasted, you know, not kind of contributing to who you are or what you're doing. So when you look at it in that perspective, it's like, damn, I got to get back to it. I got to go change my life. But I've definitely been I've been wanting this T10 deal for a while. And you talk about how I came about. I think that it was just the right place at the right time for me, you know, and kind of connecting with the right people. And you know, I told my team that it's all about ownership and equity, right? In sports. Sports is something I focused on because this is kind of what got me here, and it's understanding that, like, you know, obviously everybody has talents, but physical sport is something that you can't imitate. You know, people are blessed with the abilities they have. So long story short, T10 is the, one of the largest sports in the world. So now you bring it to America, you bring it to a new market. America is the land of storytelling. And now it's like, now that it's here, I would be crazy to not believe in these athletes. And we're bringing, you know, legends back in these different countries to come back and play in America. I think it's going to be amazing.
Did you watch cricket before?
I'm going to be honest. No, I didn't. I wasn't big. I've seen it. But to understand it, you know, was different. And now that I do understand it, it's like, okay, you know, you can enjoy more.
And you as the professional athlete in a different sport, what do you bring to the ownership that you think is unique and different in that aspect?
I would say New York. I feel like being out here and being, you know, having the leverage that I do with being able to play for the Giants and everything else that I'm doing off the field, I feel like I can bring them a side of storytelling and how, you know, I told you I majored in journalism and marketing. I understand how, you know, I would say the mass media kind of works. And once you can kind of bring that side to it, you think about all the stories in these different sports, whether it be the NFL or the NBA, that's how, you know, they've been able to be so successful. So taking that to T10 and kind of bringing those same viewers over would be amazing.
And then obviously philanthropy is a big part of what you do, hence the Dream Foundation. I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Dream Foundation, it's an acronym, J-R-E-A-M. It's the Journey to Readiness and Enrichment Through Academic Mentorship. And basically the premise is just to give back, you know, and you always say give back, but it's really pay homage, right? Because we wouldn't have been here without the mentors that we have and the people that poured into our lives. So it's about, you know, getting more people to realize that they're mentors and find the children who, you know, need the help, right? Whether in these underserved communities. And then it's about bringing resources. When NIL started, I partnered with a bunch of different companies, Beats United, Nike, and the list goes on, but just understanding that all of those companies believe in me, and if I could get them to believe in the children that I believe in, we'll be able to, you know, do some special things. So it's been amazing so far. We just had our gala last week, our first annual gala, 2023. It was a great turnout. It was a great turnout. We raised a lot of money, and I'm excited for the future.
And in what journey for you, in what part of your journey did you understand that you were a mentor?
I think it was my ability to speak. Like, I was a fifth grade president, which is always something I always kind of like, I pat myself on the back for, because, you know, to get out of your shell that young, it speaks to who you're going to be in the future. And
started very early.
Yeah, I started early. And I was always a smart kid, but I just kind of stayed on the right path and put my mind to it. And now I just feel like, you know, the skies are endless.
You know, we're talking about mentors. You know, who's your mentor? I mean, who stuck with you? You know, who resonates with you?
So it's my best friend's pops. His name is Antonio Patterson. He's the president of the Dream Foundation. But he was kind of a guy who helped me believe, you know. And you talk about playing sports and you look at the statistics and you look at things like that. And when you have somebody that can, you know, reaffirm what you already know is amazing. And what you don't know, you know, I won't even say I already knew it, because we didn't know it until, you know, it happened. But just understanding that, you know, you have people that you look up to believe in you, I think is amazing. It's inspiring when it comes to, you know, children in different communities.
I mean, you are speaking with Kayvon Thibodeau, outside linebacker, New York Giants, founder of the Dream Foundation, in our studios here at 731 Lexington Avenue. Kayvon, thank you so much for joining us here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, we talk with soccer legend Mia Hamm. You're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Scarlett Fu, along with Damian Sassauer, and our special guest host, Vanessa Perdomo of Bloomberg Originals. Michael Barr is off this week. So, you know Mia Hamm, soccer legend, two-time Olympic gold medalist. She was a big part of two big FIFA World Cup wins. She spent 17 years on the U.S. women's soccer team.
Here's Hamm, intercepts the poor back pass from a tight angle. Oh, Mia Hamm, her second of the day.
And while the future of the U.S. women's team is a bit in flux, the future of soccer in the U.S. looks pretty bright. We wanted to get Mia's take on what's next for the women's team and for soccer as a whole. Plus, she has a foundation dedicated to a cause that's near and dear to her. Mia, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Mia, I know that it's still a little bit painful, but we got to start with the women's national team. It's been more than 2 months since the women's team got knocked out of the World Cup. Can you just give us your quick take on how and why the women's team didn't make it to the gold medal game for the World Cup?
Oh my gosh. I've been asked this a lot. You know, obviously, I'm not in the locker room. I haven't spoken to any of the players or the coaches. The heart was there, the effort was there. They just looked a little out of sorts. I don't know if that's the system of play and having certain players in different positions. Injuries going in doesn't help, but I know a lot of teams deal with that. You have to kind of find ways and players are asked to kind of play out of position, but they just seemed off all tournament. And, you know, as you progress through the tournament, the pressure gets much greater. And I think in the end, it kind of just exposed just some of the issues the team was having in terms of systems and where players were playing. It's unfortunate. I feel our best game was against Sweden, where we seemed to have, some connection with playing kind of the two sixes in our defensive line. Penalties are such a difficult way to go out of a tournament.
The best way to win, though, am I right?
Well, I don't know. It's one of those, like, it's squeaky bum time the entire shootout, because it really is, there's a lot of luck involved. Obviously, technique is really important, and your goalkeeper just and the staff doing their homework. But I'm sure you ask any of those players, they would much rather just play it out on the field.
Well, Mia, you mentioned you're not in the locker room anymore, and obviously it's been some time, but is there any interest in returning to the game, specifically on the coaching side? I mean, I have to ask the question. We're looking for a new coach here.
Yeah, no, listen, there are a lot better coaches, more qualified people than me. I love doing sessions. I do sessions, whether it's locally or with the camp I do with Christine Lilly and Tisha Venturini. I kind of have that insight, but developing kind of a whole curriculum, game plan, soup to nuts kind of thing, I wouldn't really know where to start. I mean, like I said, there's a lot more qualified, but I am available at any time. And I have told every single national team coach that has gone through that I'll help out in any way I can. I love this program. Wearing the jerseys, you know, fills me with so much pride. So any way I can help them be successful, I'm all in for that.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine that watching, you know, was really hard, not as a former member, but I feel like when you're part of the U.S. national team, it's forever, right? So, yeah. But watching was probably a little tough. But can you, when you think about how these smaller teams now are advancing, South Africa and Jamaica and Morocco, what do you think that says about the global game, and what do you think it's going to do for women's soccer on the global level?
Well, I think it's just going to strengthen it. And, you know, the amazing thing is a lot of these programs have very limited support, and the sport kind of comes around every 2 to 4 years. And look what they're able to accomplish. You know, a lot of their players are playing in other leagues, and they're able to develop and kind of bring that knowledge and excitement back home. And that ends up being passed along to the younger players. But, you know, hopefully that motivates their member associations, their confederations, to continue to invest in the women's game. Because you just see the return on that investment. But the excitement level is real. And to see the, like you were talking about, just the performances of these less known countries, you know, outside of US and Canada, you know, the three that from CONCACAF that are pretty consistent. And then obviously Europe, who, you know, they have some of the best leagues right now. And then we know about Japan, them being world champions, and their commitment to their development, just technically, tactically, and creating environments for their players to be successful.
I'll tell you, I thought Japan was going to win it. They were playing amazing, like absolutely unbelievable throughout the tournament. So, you know, you said a little bit there about, you know, these people playing other leagues and the European leagues being really strong. What do you think, does that give you any kind of worry for the state of the NWSL that maybe some American players will start going playing overseas?
Well, I think, you know, we always have to reevaluate ourselves, you know, being owners of this league and wanting our league to be the best in the world. How do we make it better? And, you know, right now you look at what the top clubs in Europe, not just the tournaments they're able to compete in, but also the money they're able to spend and bring in all the top name players all over the world. And, you know, if Sophia Smith or one of our top players came and asked my opinion, you know, I'd love for them to stay, but in the end, it's a business decision, both on the field and off the field. Yeah. But we have to, as an NWSL, as a league, to make our product the best that we can. What we have in our league is incredible parity. And I think every single game is exciting. And that's why the run to the NWSL championship is going to be unpredictable, exciting, and you know, every game is two teams just going after it.
Mia,
about predictability. The decision day was nuts, huh?
Yeah. We were at I go into those things not even knowing like what we need. And so it's really fun at BMO Stadium in our section, like Julie Foudy, Joy Fawcett, Shannon McMillan, Tish Venturini, Lori and Ronnie Fair, like we're all sitting there, and Saskia Weber was the one who knew, because she's, you know, she does commentary for the NWSL. So she was sitting behind us telling us, oh, we need these many goals. You know, we definitely need to win. And I was like, oh, there's too much math involved. I just want to keep scoring and ensuring that we win. But it was such an amazing atmosphere, and just, you know, our team just never gives up. I mean, they continue to fight till the end, and, you know, just so proud of them.
That was soccer legend Mia Hamm. We've got more with her straight ahead on Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Scarlett Fu for Damian Sassauer and our special guest host this week, Vanessa Perdomo, who is in for Michael Barr. We are talking with Mia Hamm, the one and only, widely acknowledged to be one of the best women soccer players of all time. She joined us to talk a little bit about her foundation and what she sees as the future for women's soccer in the U.S. Let's take a listen.
Mia, you mentioned, you know, Christine Lilly. You mentioned Julie Foudy.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned these names. And, you know, I I'm 49 years old, so take it from me. I mean, now fast forward to where we are today. You have two twin 16-year-old girls, an 11-year-old boy. You're a soccer mom. I mean, are you a soccer mom? I mean,
yeah.
Talk to us about what it's like to be the parent and not the playmaker.
It was funny. My husband and I were just talking about this because we were laughing over, like, do you exercise now? Do you work out? Do you train? And what are all the differences? What do they mean? And I was like, yeah, well, training meant your entire day was dedicated to what you did. And now that you have kids, it's like you just exercise. You try to figure out what you can physically do in the day that correlates to some type of exercise. Whether that's like dropping your kid off at a practice and then just walking around the block for 30 minutes, however you can get it done, if that's stretching outside the car, great. But, you know, I think in, once you have kids, everything is about them. Where when I was playing, it was everything I did was about my performance and helping the team performance best.
Tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 10 to 12 hours a day. You're committed to your own performance and maximizing that so you can make yourself as good as of an athlete as and a soccer player as possible, and trying to make your team the best team it can be. And now it's your team is different, and you're expending the energy to making sure that, you know, your kids are in the best position to be successful.
Scarlett, can you imagine Mia Hamm getting her work up by stretching at, you know, after school pickup? And by the way, Mia's husband just isn't any husband.
Yeah.
This is Nomar Garcia-Parra, former shortstop for the Boston Red Sox we're talking about here. But Mia, you know, let me just ask you one thing. In between all of this, you know, post-retirement life you have, you're also a co-owner of the defending champion Los Angeles FC. Talk to us about, you know, they're number two seed in the West. The playoffs are coming up. I mean, what's it like to be the owner of a championship football club?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, you know, our ownership group and the managing partners are incredible, and their commitment, not just to the product on the field, but our community, and understanding that, It's a lifelong legacy that we're trying to leave for the city of Los Angeles. It's something we want our supporters to be proud of every single time they come into our stadium and or excuse me, watch LAFC compete. You know, we talk about our supporter section, the 3252. That's our heartbeat. That's the energy that in a long season. And we've had a really long season with Champions League and everything. They provide the energy, and they show up every single match, both home and away. And, you know, not just with LAFC, but Angel City, we're part of that ownership group. So it's managing schedules as well, and making sure you're able to watch them both in person and on TV when they're playing away.
Mia, I'm so glad you mentioned Angel City because it has a very unique business model. I mean, first of all, it's women majority owned. There are a lot of celebrities involved, Natalie Portman being one of them, Alexis Ohanian, not a woman, but still married to a very accomplished female athlete. The business model entails this 10% sponsorship model, where each sponsor chooses a specific area of impact and works with Angel City to identify partner organizations working on that issue. Can you talk a little bit about that draw and whether this is something that can be scaled or duplicated across other professional teams?
I think it definitely can be scaled and duplicated for other, you know, other teams, you know, even here in Los Angeles. I think it's, you know, what I love is it's really easy to talk about Angel City and LAFC, because I was saying we're both really committed to our community. And, you know, we don't just come in and in the neighborhood of our stadium, feel that we're there just for the 2 to 4 hours that the pre game and post game kind of excitement. Like, we're invested 365 days a year. And I think it's important. One of the things I love about being involved in women's sports is this sense of mentorship and creating an environment where, you know, you care about not just the game, but the legacy that you're leaving. And what I love is our players at Angel City have embraced it incredibly well. And they feel it's part of their responsibility of being a part of this club, but just being a part of this community and part of the human race of helping others and giving back. So I love the fact that our clubs are so community focused and based. And there's a lot that can still be done. And I know other teams are looking at us as a model to how to create that.
Well, yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that. I mean, I think it's something that a lot of athletes, you know, it's just ingrained in you guys, right? To be part of the community, to be more than just the athlete itself. You know, you have the Mia Hamm Foundation that you work closely with, the bone marrow transplant community. Can you talk to us about that and your personal connection with it?
Yeah, no, and thank you. You know, this project has been incredibly personal for me. You know, I've been able to partner with Insight to raise awareness about GVHD, which is graft versus host disease. And that's a potential complication of a bone marrow transplant. You know, I've been an advocate for the bone marrow transplant community ever since my brother, Garrett, became sick and needed a bone marrow transplant. And I was kind of in a position, my family was in a position, we didn't know what to do, where to go. And we're incredibly grateful of the doctors and friends that kind of gave us direction and support through the process. So any way I can give back to this community and you know, with graft versus host disease, it's really important for patients and their families who are going through a bone marrow transplant to kind of get as much information. So post-transplant, they can be proactive in their treatment. And we talk about, you know, just if anything seems off, like if you're feeling a little sluggish or you notice a rash, you know, talk to your medical team. Don't think, oh, it's no big deal. You know, preemptive treatment can help you kind of make the effects of graft versus host disease a lot less. So we encourage people to go to gvhdnow.com/fans. You know, because these patients are in the fight of their lives and their families are an incredible support system for them. And we want them to know that we're cheering for them.
You know, Mia, I was
great cheerleader, I'm sure, to have in your corner, right? Mia Hamm as your cheerleader. I love it.
Well, you know, speaking of cheerleaders, Vanessa, let me build on that. You know, I believe it was 1999, you know, the FIFA's Women's World Cup, and I believe Garrett did get to attend, you know, some of that tournament. But, I mean, you know, the Rose Bowl, I mean, Mia, 90,000 fans at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, 2-1 penalty shootout, yeah. Victory versus China. I mean, do you just think about that every day? I mean, just for, I mean, do you still think about those moments?
There's a lot of haziness to that because it was so gosh darn hot.
That was Mia Hamm, the soccer legend. We've got more of that conversation coming up next on the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Scarlett Fu for Damian Sassauer and Vanessa Perdomo of Bloomberg Originals. Michael Barr is off this week. We are talking with the all-time soccer great Mia Hamm. Let's listen in.
I believe it was 1999, you know, the FIFA's Women's World Cup, the Rose Bowl. I mean, Mia, 90,000 fans at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, 2-1 penalty shootout, yeah. Victory versus China. I mean, do you just think about that every day? I mean, do you still think about those moments?
There's a lot of haziness to that because it was so gosh darn hot.
Right. Didn't you get dehydrated at the end? I remember.
Oh, I was a mess at the end. I didn't get to go to any of the post game celebrations. So when my teammates talk about it, it's like, oh, remember? And I'm like, yeah, no. They're like, oh, yeah, sorry about that.
It's all a blur.
I was in the hotel room, like in the fetal position with IV bags going, where am I? But you know, there were a lot of things you remember and you kind of giggle about it. I was at the Rose Bowl a couple months ago with Brandi Chastain, and you know, people are like, "Oh, it was so cool." I go, "It was," but we had to warm up for the biggest game of our lives underneath the stadium in running shoes because the consolation match went into overtime, and so we're like. But it didn't faze us. We were like, all right, just another thing. You know, that's cool. We'll get some touches right before the game starts. But what an incredible venue. And you're right. Just being a part of that tournament, being part of that team and, you know, creating history. And then you see what's happening to the game now and how many millions of people are able to watch women's soccer and the Women's World Cup in Australia. I thought, you know, I was lucky enough to go and just to see the reception and the excitement in country, and then obviously watching it when I was back home, there was a buzz about it, and that's just going to make this tournament continue to grow.
Well, you're pretty familiar with being around a buzz. You are the source of a lot of that buzz. You played, obviously, college soccer at UNC. You led the Tar Heels to 4 straight NCAA championships, which is kind of mind-boggling. Of course, now college athletes have the opportunity to monetize their name, image, and likeness. I'm curious, how do you think NIL would have changed your trajectory if that was an option for you when you were a student?
I don't know. I mean, I probably would not have had to work in my off season.
What were you doing in the off season?
You know, that was just more so during the summer. I was working summer camps, but it was like, but if you work for your own university, you were capped at how much you could get paid. So it wasn't like I was killing it by any means. I was just making enough money so I could have spending money during the year. Because if you had a full scholarship, you weren't allowed to get a job.
A very special thank you to Mia Hamm for taking the time to join us this week. And if you missed any part of that conversation, check it out now. It's on demand on the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, and of course, your favorite podcast platform. Plus, a big thank you to Bloomberg Originals' Vanessa Perdomo for joining us. Vanessa is the co-host of Next in Sports, along with Jason Kelly. But if you didn't know, she's also a former Division III college athlete. She played goalie for her school's soccer team. And so speaking with Mia Hamm was definitely a highlight for her and a highlight for us. Thank you so much for listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We are here each and every week at the same time. I'm Scarlett Fu on X at Scarlett Fu. And of course, follow Damian at D Sassauer. Tune in again next week for the latest on the stories moving big money in the world of sports. You are listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.